Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 27th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
President Trump continues claiming election fraud and signals he may never formally concede.
AstraZeneca and Oxford University face fresh scrutiny over vaccine trial results.
And Black Friday moves to the couch. The busiest shopping day of the year looks a lot different this time.
Governor Cuomo says they are working on a winter plan against the coronavirus. Plus, Cuomo reacts to the Supreme Court blocking capacity limits on places of worship. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. Some exciting Thanksgiving football, plus a look ahead to what the Jets and Giants have this Sunday. I'll have all that coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are higher heading into this Black Friday. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 41 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%. 10-year Treasuries up 7/32. The yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9%. Down 42 cents. $45.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed. It's up 70 cents to $18.1190 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1922 against the dollar, and the yen is at 104.02, John.
And Nathan, we begin at the White House, where President Trump continues to contest the results of last month's election. The president's tone remains defiant, and he's telling supporters not to give up. More from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
He started a meeting with reporters saying he will give up power if the Electoral College votes that way, but quickly reversed course, saying he will go to Georgia this weekend for a rally and that the Secretary of State there is an enemy of the people.
It's going to be a very hard thing to concede because we know there was massive fraud.
He calls the system third world. He also says it'll be hard to let Joe Biden take office.
You can't have somebody assume office and already they want to get rid of America first.
He didn't explain how he plans to stop that. He says a lot of things can happen between now and Inauguration Day. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And as the president continues to contest the election, the pandemic continues to grip much of the country. The push for a vaccine is gathering steam. But now there's confusion over trial results from one of the shots. AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford are facing questions after a manufacturing error in a clinical trial. Now, as Bloomberg's Ed Corey reports, they'll likely conduct an additional trial to assess the vaccine's efficacy.
That's according to the company's CEO after current studies raised questions over its level of protection. The new trial would be run instead of adding an arm to an ongoing U.S. trial and would evaluate a lower dosage that performed better than a full amount in Astra's studies. The company's acknowledgement that the lower level was given in error fueled concerns. Astra is under scrutiny as the drug company responds to growing confusion over the vaccine. Ed Corey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In the meantime, virus cases and hospitalizations continue to surge. Next week, we should start to see whether holiday gatherings result in more cases. Dr. Imran Ali at Mount Sinai Medical Center says conditions this month are ripe to contribute to a surge.
Respiratory viruses are notoriously spread in winter months because people are indoors. And it's the dry heat that makes the respiratory droplets more light and fluffy, and they float more in the air because there's less humidity.
In New York, new infections are at a seven-month high, while hospitalizations hit the highest level since June. In California, the positive test rate has climbed above 6%. And around the world, global deaths from the virus have topped 1.4 million.
While most of the world grapples with the pandemic, data out of China show that country rebounding from the economic fallout. Profits at Chinese industrial enterprises surged in October. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Profits jumped 28.2% from a year ago. Now, that's the fastest pace in almost 9 years. It's a sign that the economic recovery is gathering pace. This was the sixth consecutive month of gains. It's good news, sure, but the acceleration was mainly due to two reasons: a low base in the same period last year and an increase in investment income. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Throughout Asia today, stocks held at record highs. The regional index is on track for a gain of 12% this month. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
The Nikkei 225 gained 0.4% in Tokyo to hold at April 1991 highs, while South Korea's KOSPI was at a record. China's CSI 300 gained 1.2%. Australian shares underperformed and trading in Treasury wine estates was halted after the stock fell more than 11% as China targeted Australian wine in the latest trade retaliation, with duties of more than 100% to take effect from tomorrow. In Singapore, Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., it is the day after Thanksgiving, typically the busiest shopping day of the year. But this time, it's different. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
For the first time ever, more consumers intend to shop online than in stores, a switch driven by the coronavirus pandemic. Retail analysts, though, will be keeping an eye on mall parking lots as well as the number of shoppers actually walking around with shopping bags. The National Retail Federation, the nation's largest retail trade group, expects that holiday sales could actually exceed growth seen in prior seasons, with sales for the November and December period increasing between 3.6 and 5.2%. Over 2019. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, today is usually marked by doorbuster deals to bring shoppers inside the store. But like so much else during this pandemic, that has changed too. Poonam Goyal covers the retail industry for Bloomberg Intelligence.
They've been trying to get consumers to shop earlier by spreading out the Black Friday deals. So what you won't see this year, which is what you're traditionally used to seeing over Black Friday, is those doorbuster deals to get you into the store. Because once you're in the store for that item, you're likely to buy something else. And that's the reason that they do this. They can't do that anymore. Therefore, they're just spreading out good deals online. There won't be any steal deals online. Things will be discounted, but it won't be like last year where Macy's was giving away things for free with rebate. But those don't exist this year.
Well, we have some early data rolling in for Thanksgiving Day shopping. Adobe says smartphones accounted for half of all transactions on the holiday. In states with the strictest COVID restrictions, online sales growth was 47% higher than states with looser restrictions. Ahead of the cash open on this Friday, Dow futures right now 60 points higher. S&P futures up 7. NASDAQ futures up 39. This is Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the Supreme Court's decision blocking capacity limits on religious services in New York State is irrelevant. In a 5-4 ruling, the High Court says rules the governor issued amid a new COVID-19 wave unfairly singles out houses of worship. Cuomo, in response, said the ruling was an expression of the court's philosophy and politics.
I would agree with those people who say it's a different court, and they wanted to make the statement that it's a different court, that's the statement they're making.
The majority on the High Court wrote in their opinion, even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. Governor Cuomo also says that state officials are working on a winter plan to fight COVID-19. It calls for revising metrics in designated hot zones, including adding hospitalization rates. The governor also says the Trump administration could be in trouble if it carries out the president's threat to delay vaccine distribution to states like New York that intend to review the FDA findings before injecting people.
If they try to retaliate against these states that did these panels, which happen to be Democratic states that President Trump lost, I think that would be a criminal, potentially criminal act.
He says experts all project an increase in COVID cases post-Thanksgiving. Travelers screened at U.S. airports on Thanksgiving Eve were the highest since coronavirus shutdowns descended in mid-March, as many Americans ignored warnings by health officials. More than a million people went through airport screening on Wednesday, according to data from the TSA. That is still only about 40% of the level on Thanksgiving Eve 2019. President-elect Biden, in an online video, urged self-sacrifice in staying home this Thanksgiving holiday period until a vaccine arrives.
We might not be able to join our hands around a table with our loved ones, but we can come together as a nation. I know better days are coming. I know how bright our future is. I know the 21st century is going to be an American century.
Meanwhile, Biden is expected to announce key positions to his administration next week, including members of his economic team. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, and time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. It wasn't the Thanksgiving triple header we've grown accustomed to, as the Ravens-Steelers game was postponed to Sunday. But we did have two games, the Cowboys and the Lions hosting their traditional Turkey Day festivities. In the first game, the Lions no match for Deshaun Watson and the Texans, as Houston would cruise to a 41-25 win. The Cowboys, meanwhile, were embarrassed by Washington 41-16, and at 4-7, the Washington football team currently sits in first place in the NFC East division. As for that Ravens-Steelers game that was originally scheduled for last night, it was postponed due to positive COVID tests with the Ravens, but now that game is in jeopardy of being canceled altogether. Yesterday, the Ravens reported new positive tests, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, and they closed their facility until Monday at the earliest. Sunday, the Giants visit the Bengals, and with a win, Big Blue can temporarily claim first place in the NFC East because of their season sweep of Washington. The Jets, meanwhile, still looking for their first win, host the Dolphins. Both games are at 1 o'clock. College hoops yesterday, St. John's defeated LaSalle 82-65. Today, Syracuse hosts Bryant. Seton Hall visits Louisville, and Rutgers hosts Philly Dickinson. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. And a quick check of the markets right now. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this Friday, Dow futures right now 58 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The S&P E-mini futures, they're up 7 points. That's up 0.2%. And the NASDAQ futures right now, 38 points higher. That's up 0.3%. We'll get a deeper look at the markets just ahead with Christina Hooper of Invesco right here on Bloomberg Daybreak in just a few minutes. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your Tri-State area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Global stocks are on track for their best month on record, up 13%. It's lifted valuations to near the highest levels in about 20 years. But sentiment is fragile. The toll of the coronavirus continues to rise in this country and in Europe. The task of vaccinating the world's population rife with logistical problems. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures right now up 5 points. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures higher by 34 points. DAX in Germany little changed. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9%, down 42 cents, $45.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up almost 0.1%, up $1.60 to $18.1270 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1924 against the dollar. British pound 1.3356, and the yen is at 104.03. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we say good morning to Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says that he will leave the White House if the Electoral College formalizes President-elect Joe Biden's victory, even as he insisted such a decision would be a mistake. Trump spent his Thanksgiving renewing baseless claims that massive fraud and crooked officials in battleground states caused his election defeat, even there is no evidence to support his claim. When it comes to holiday spending this year, huge crowds are out and online shopping is in. At least 60% of shoppers say they plan to do at least some of their holiday shopping from home this year, and 41% say they won't be hitting the stores at all today. Thanksgiving Day football, Washington beat the Cowboys 41-16. The Texans beat the Lions, 41-26. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. More than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
A Detroit bias. 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. The stocks seem to be ending the week on something of a cautious note. For more on the markets this morning, we're joined by Christina Hooper, the Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco Advisors. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for being with us this morning. After breaching records in the U.S., pulling back just a bit, what is the narrative that investors are going to latch onto now?
Well, I think the narrative is about greater clarity for 2021. Now, I don't know if they're going to latch on to it every day from here until the end of the year, but I think there's going to be a growing recognition that 2021 is going to have a lot more clarity than 2020, even though, ironically, that is an expression for excellent vision, right? 2020 has been anything but clear. There's been so much uncertainty, but as we head into 2021, we do have a vaccine. It's not a perfect story, but just a few months ago, we had medical experts saying they didn't even know if we could come up with an effective vaccine for a coronavirus. We also have a lot more policy certainty, certainly around trade with the election of Joe Biden. And we really, for the most part, don't have a contested election anymore. So a lot more clarity for 2021, and I think that's going to be good news for the stock market.
The Georgia races, the runoffs there, could that throw potentially a wrench into things if there is not a Democratic Congress to go along with the Democratic administration?
Well, it could actually create something of a Goldilocks scenario in that we could get some positives from the Biden administration, like more clarity and a resumption of a more traditional approach to trade policy, which was a big issue for stocks. But we are unlikely to see a hike in taxes if we have a Republican Senate to go along with the Biden administration. So it actually might not be a bad scenario.
The need for stimulus still front and center.
Absolutely. It is critical to get stimulus. We need stimulus in particular in certain areas, including state and local government funding. And we run the risk of greater economic scarring if we don't get it.
Approaching year end, I'm in your office getting advice for you from you as far as my investments. Do I need to rebalance at this point?
Well, I think you certainly should always rebalance at the end of each year and think about how you're going to be allocated for the coming year. In this particular situation, you may want to tactically reallocate favoring cyclicals, favoring smaller caps, just given the kind of environment we're heading into where we're likely to see a very significant improvement in the economy once the vaccine is broadly distributed. And we could see CapEx spending ramp up in advance of that.
There, to some degree, there are corporations that you wouldn't even know that there's a pandemic. Is the global growth story firmly in place at this point?
I think it is. Now, there are certainly blemishes, but the global growth story is in place. We're going to have to go through a tough COVID winter for some developed economies, but 2021 looks very good.
It is Black Friday, as you know. What kind of shape is the American consumer in right now?
Well, as we've talked about before, the American consumer is participating in a K-shaped recovery. So there are haves and there are have-nots. There is a good portion of American consumers that have significant savings, that have actually increased savings this year, and for others, it's a much more difficult scenario. I do expect to see a solid holiday shopping season. Keep in mind, a lot of benefits don't run out till the end of the year, so there is also the fiscal stimulus that is helping. So I do believe we're going to see a good holiday shopping season.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but in terms of yields right now, we have the 10-year at 85 basis points. You want to make a prediction as to what we're going to see on that front?
I think we should expect to see rates lower for longer. What the Fed has done has really altered its framework, its policy going forward. And so that suggests to me that even as the economy starts to improve, the Fed will lag behind. We're likely to see the ECB get tighter, I think, before we see the Fed. So rates in the U.S. should remain low.
Christina, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Christina Hooper, the Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco Advisors. And head of the cash open on Wall Street this Friday after Thanksgiving. Dow futures right now 48 points higher. That's up 0.2%. S&P futures, they're up 5 points, up 0.2. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now 36 points higher. That is up 0.3%. Again, the 10-year yield right now 85 basis points. As we look at the euro, 1.1922. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Trump continues to contest the results of last month's election. The president's tone remains defiant as he tells supporters not to give up.
It's going to be a very hard thing to concede because we know there was massive fraud. So as to whether or not I can get this apparatus moving this quickly, because time isn't on our side. Everything else is on our side. Facts are on our side.
The president continues to claim the election result was rigged, but fails to offer evidence. He says he'll give up power if the Electoral College votes for Joe Biden next month.
AstraZeneca and Oxford University's coronavirus vaccine looks to be headed for a new trial. They're hoping to clear up confusion over results in a recent study. Astra says the more effective results came from a group who were given a lower dose of vaccine due to a manufacturing error.
As the push for a vaccine gathers steam, data out of China show the country rebounding from the economic fallout of the pandemic. Profits at Chinese industrial enterprises surged in October, jumping 28% from a year ago. Although the news is good, the acceleration is partially due to a low base in the same period last year.
Well, back here in the U.S., Black Friday shopping will look different this year as the pandemic moves the bulk of shopping online. Poonam Goyal covers the retail industry for Bloomberg Intelligence.
The estimates are that retail sales over the holiday online will rise a little over 33%. We think even higher than that. If you think about what happened earlier this year, online sales had been up as high as 125%. Now, granted, that was when stores were shut, but, you know, this is peak holiday season, and people are getting more concerned going to stores as virus cases rise around the world.
And for those who do shop in person, it'll be a different experience this year. Walmart says it will limit the number of customers at stores to just 20% of capacity. Target is doubling the number of parking spots for curbside pickup.
And futures on Wall Street are moving higher on this Black Friday, though with some caution. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures up 50, NASDAQ futures up 34 points. 10-year Treasury is up 8/32, the yield 0.85%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down almost 1%, down 44 cents to $45.28 a barrel. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says a Supreme Court ruling that barred him from reimposing strict capacity limits on religious services was an expression of the court's philosophy and politics. In a 5-4 ruling, the High Court blocked the limits New York City synagogues and churches, saying the rules he issued amid a new COVID-19 wave unfairly single out houses of worship. Cuomo says the ruling is irrelevant.
I fully respect religion, and if there's a time in life when we need it, the time is now. But we want to make sure we keep people safe at the same time.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined the conservative wing in the majority. Governor Cuomo also says officials are working on a winter plan for the state's efforts against the coronavirus. Cuomo says the state will continue using the approach of microclusters to hone in on small geographic areas where virus cases are a particular problem. The new plan will add factors like the hospitalization rate and the availability of ICU beds to determine the location of the hotspots. According to the governor, the worst-case scenario is running out of hospital beds.
There are a number of theories about how bad the increase will be after Thanksgiving, but they all project an increase post-Thanksgiving.
Cuomo says the winter plan will also look at ways to keep schools open and outlines how vaccines will be distributed as they become available. With a 10-day stay-at-home advisory in effect in Newark, New Jersey, city leaders hoping to curb rising COVID-19 cases were met with a surprising number of businesses in the Ironbound District area opened for customers on Thanksgiving Day. Although Newark Mayor Roz Baraka only has an advisory in place, he warns that any non-essential businesses caught open will not be eligible for Newark's $2 million relief fund for businesses affected by closures.
There are a lot of businesses that are following and a lot of businesses that aren't. And so we out here with our team making people comply.
Baraka says there's a focus on barbershops, hair salons, and spas. South Korea's spy agency has told lawmakers that North Korea executed at least two people, banned fishing at sea, and locked down its capital, Pyongyang, as part of frantic anti-coronavirus steps. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Jump.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, John. Two Thanksgiving football games yesterday. In the first game, the Lions no match for Deshaun Watson and the Texans as Houston would cruise to a 41-25 win. It was a battle of three win teams in the afternoon game, but it was for first place. The Cowboys and Washington were in a close game in the fourth quarter when Dallas decided to go for a fake punt deep inside their own territory. It did not work out, and from there, Washington would score 21 unanswered points to embarrass the Cowboys 41-16. At 4-7, the Washington football team currently sits in first place in the NFC East Division. The Ravens-Steelers game that was originally scheduled for last night was postponed to Sunday due to positive COVID tests, and now that game is in jeopardy of being canceled altogether. Yesterday, the Ravens reported new positive tests, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, and the team has closed their facility until Monday at the earliest. Sunday, the Giants visit the Bengals, and with a win, Big Blue can temporarily claim first place in the NFC East because of their season sweep of Washington. The Jets, meanwhile, still looking for their first win, host the Dolphins. Both games are at 1 o'clock. College hoops yesterday, St. John's defeated LaSalle 82-65. Today, Syracuse hosts Bryant. Seton Hall visits Louisville, and Rutgers hosts Fairleigh Dickinson. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, Scott. 5:37 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Tri-State Business Report, and for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ann Cates.
New Jersey's American Dream Mall, the second biggest in the U.S., is facing its first major test on this Black Friday as COVID-19 cases soar. The $5 billion, 3.3 million square foot mall in East Rutherford has more than 100 stores and six attractions open, but a recent survey by the International Council of Shopping Centers finds less than half of the respondents say they plan to go to a mall this holiday shopping season. The operator of New York City's East River Ferry Service has earned a one-notch upgrade from S&P Global Ratings. Hornblower arranged a nearly $196 million loan to repay some existing debt and raise cash. S&P says during the coronavirus pandemic, consumers may have lingering fears about travel and being in enclosed spaces. Monday Properties has finalized the more than $23 million acquisition of a 224,000-square-foot office property in Stamford, Connecticut. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ann Cates.
All right, thanks, Ann. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Amazon will spend $500 million on holiday employee bonuses.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting on how Target is approaching Black Friday at its brick-and-mortar stores.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the new tier restrictions in England.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about a major Macy's investor now putting money into Foot Locker.
I'm Ann Cates. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting on a major donation by Ford Motor.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Well, a week from today, we get the unemployment report for November, and downbeat data this week is stoking concern that a lackluster reading on the labor market could be in store. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Jobless claims shot higher for the second week in a row, while household income fell in October for the second time in 3 months. This month's University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index also fell, and Conference Board data indicate Americans have doubts about the labor market as COVID-19 surges. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Some other stories we're watching as this year's busiest shopping season gets underway. Unions representing tens of thousands of Amazon employees are planning walkouts. They're protesting the company's handling of everything from sick pay and COVID precautions to user privacy. Amazon says it's working to make a positive impact as progressive and innovative business. And Walt Disney cutting another 4,000 jobs after lockdowns forced the closing of its theme parks. That takes the total number of layoffs in the first half of the fiscal year to 32,000, more than 10% of its workforce. The entertainment giant is switching focus to streaming service Disney Plus, which is seeing surging growth. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are ending this week on a cautious note as investors assess valuations following a record rise in equities this month and the enduring pandemic in parts of this country as well as Europe. Oil is retreating. Tensions are rising among OPEC Plus members, and we could see lower volumes than average on this Black Friday with reduced trading hours for stocks and bonds. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are higher by almost 5 points. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures are higher by nearly 40 points. German DAX is up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.4%. FTSE 100 in London down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan closed 0.4%. Higher, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was higher by 0.3%. 10-year Treasury is up 7/32. The yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9%, down 42 cents to $45.29 a barrel. Brent, the international benchmark, is higher by 0.6% or 28 cents at $48.08 for a barrel of Brent. COMEX gold, little changed, up $1.10 to $18.12.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1924 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3336, and the yen is at 104.03. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Trump said he will leave the White House if the Electoral College votes for Joe Biden next month. However, during last night's news conference, Trump is not committing to attending the inauguration. The president also says he plans on hitting the campaign trail this weekend.
And I just want to tell my people, don't be disappointed yet because this race is far from over. But I'm going on Saturday night. I'll be in Georgia. We're going to have a tremendous crowd. They're looking for the right site.
Joe Biden's transition team say that they're in full contact with Operation Warp Speed on plans to distribute a coronavirus vaccine. After months of slumping sales and businesses toppling into bankruptcy, Black Friday is offering a small beacon of hope. In normal times, Black Friday is the busiest shopping day of the year, drawing millions of shoppers eager to get started on their holiday spending. But these are not normal times. Crowds are expected to be dramatically diminished as coronavirus cases spike and shoppers do more of their purchases online. Pent-up emotions after 8 months of strict COVID-19 restrictions in Argentina spilled over with the death of soccer superstar Diego Maradona, prompting people to flood squares, streets, and the presidential palace to honor their icon. The wake was largely orderly and peaceful until the afternoon when crowds streamed into downtown Buenos Aires. Thanksgiving Day football, Washington beat the Cowboys. The Texans beat the Lions. The Baltimore Steelers game was pushed back to Sunday because of a Ravens COVID outbreak. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:50 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It is Black Friday, as Michael just mentioned, traditionally one of the busiest shopping days of the year. But, of course, this year has been anything but traditional. Taking the pulse of the consumer this morning, we're thankful to be joined by Poonam Goyal, Senior Retail Analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Where are you?
I am actually still home right now, but about to go to the mall.
I thought you were going to be in a parking lot of a Walmart somewhere.
Not yet. Soon enough, though.
Okay. What's different this year? Of course, we know about the pandemic, but what's the expectation?
You know, it's going to be a very different Black Friday. The expectation is not to see lines wrapped around the stores as they open, as the deals are largely intact with what they have been for most of the week. I was at the mall on Wednesday and just speaking to some of the retail shops there, asking about what's going to be different on Friday. The answer broadly was our promotions are exactly the same as what they are right now. There is no difference. So they've really scattered their discounts to be more than just one day, encouraging people really to shop more online given the social distancing mandate.
Okay, so no doorbusters, no free giveaways like we saw at Macy's last year.
No, none of that really. None of that is happening. They're really discouraging you to come to stores this year. You know, in fact, even stores, for example, right now the mall's not open yet. Right, it'll be opening soon. Where last year was open, I believe, around midnight. Okay. So that they're limiting the deals so that people can shop online, and they're actually encouraging you to shop online this year.
For those that do go out, what is the curbside pickup situation?
Yeah, the curbside pickup is there, but keep in mind that if you're buying stuff on the Black Friday deals, whether it was Wednesday or Friday, depending on the retailer, the curbside pickup typically won't be available for several days. So it's not going to be where you order today and you can go pick it up today as well. That's unlikely to be the case unless you're going to Walmart for a grocery delivery or something of that nature. There is curbside pickup right now. We have plenty of time to Christmas, so shoppers aren't necessarily in a rush to get the gift today itself.
Do you detect a strong pulse of the American consumer this year?
I do online. I think consumers are spending. They're spending a lot online, and they will continue to spend. There's not much that they can do in terms of experiences this year, so we're expecting them to buy more things, which is going to actually help the retailers.
Well, who's looking to clean up this year? What's the breakdown among retailers between those that are on the low end and those that are on the high end?
Yeah, I think, you know, you'll see strength, obviously, at the mass merchants like you have been all year, the Walmarts and the Targets of the world. We're expecting good sales there. We're expecting the high end, whether it's, you know, shopping at Nordstrom, most likely digitally, or whether it's buying, you know, a Louis Vuitton bag. We're seeing strength at the high end. In the middle is where you're going to see retailers really try to push aggressively deals to get the shopper in, more notably across home and active, the categories that have been showing strength all year.
As far as technology, how's that?
Technology is good. It's a lot of deals on electronics, whether it's, you know, audio headphones, whether it's TVs, whether it's speakers, laptops. We're seeing lots of momentum there, and there continue to be deals being pushed out there to get people to come into their websites or their stores for them.
Are margins going to be impacted this year because of online?
They are. They're going to be weaker from an online standpoint because there's going to be more shipping costs for retailers. But that said, inventory was very lean going into holiday. So while the promotions are there to lure shoppers in, they're not as deep as they were last year. Retailers are able to actually lower the intensity of the promotions to drive better merchandise margins.
Now, about those lean inventories, is that the result of being prepared on the part of retailers, or are there some supply chain issues?
It's a combination of both. If you recall, you know, at the start of the year around March, April, when COVID hit the U.S. More broadly and there were shutdowns, retailers took a big step in cutting back inventory, some as much as 50% or more. And since then, they've been just playing catch up. Also, they've been careful and cautious because they're in a position where they would rather leave sales on the table or chase inventory rather than have too much. And that's paid off all year, and we think it'll continue to pay off over holiday, which is helping their merchandise margin. That said, you know, some of them will leave sales on the table because they just can't chase into the goods at this point anymore.
Who's best positioned, do you suppose, among the retailers?
Among the department stores, I think Kohl's is best positioned with its deals as well as its strong presence off mall. And then within specialty apparel, we think Aerie continues to stand out. We think Old Navy Gap's format will continue to do well. As mentioned earlier, you know, NBI, we think Walmart, Target continue to show strength, as well as the home centers and the home retailers.
Do you suppose that, I mean, we've made predictions about the end of brick and mortar for some time to come. Is this the year where we really start to see that happen?
I think this is a year where you see an acceleration in store closing. So we've always talked about right-sizing the real estate fleet within brick and mortars in the U.S., and COVID has accelerated that. So we're starting to see stores come out and close more doors as they exit leases or as they adjust leases because of COVID. So we will see a rationalization of stores in the U.S. That said, it's not going to be 100% done yet. So, you know, we don't think that you don't need to shop a store and that stores will completely go away. We just think we'll have a better balance of stores versus digital as we move forward.
And before I let you go, what is the is there a single hot gift that people are going to be buying this year?
I mean, it's more TVs, fitness watches, and really audio phones. Those are really the things that we're seeing people gravitate towards, as well as kitchen accessories.
Poonam, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Poonam Goyal, retail analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. If you see her out there in the parking lot of the mall, say hello. Poonam Goyal, thanks again. Right now, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures firmly in the green right now. Dow futures up 49 points. That's up 0.2%. The S&P E-mini futures, they're up 5 points right now. Up 0.1%, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they are up 43 points right now. As we check yields in the U.S., the benchmark 10-year yield right now, 85 basis points. The euro at 119.22, the Japanese yen firming up just a bit at 104.07, and British pound sterling at 133. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, a check of the roadways on this Friday morning for your commute and shopping. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.